I thought let's spend some time looking at the scriptures around the resurrection of Jesus and maybe what was the atmosphere like back then at Jesus' time and how did the disciple respond. Today would be the part one of this sharing. So let's bow our head and pray. Lord, please use me to share your word of truth in love to touch many lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first we will look at would be John chapter 20, verse 1 to 18. I'm sure you've heard a bit about it. It's the empty tomb. So I'll read it out first now. So John chapter 20, verse 1 to 18 from NASB. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb, while it was still dark, and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple from Jesus, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings there lying there. And the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, and that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, he said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father, and your Father, and my God, and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciple, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Well, the first things I want to draw your attention is that Jesus chose to reveal himself, his resurrected body, his first person after he has risen. He revealed himself to Mary Magdalene. How might this revelation shows who God is? So why did he choose Mary Magdalene? When I look back in New Testament, the name Mary Magdalene was only mentioned 12 times in New Testament, and I could summarize it here quite quickly. So the background is that Jesus delivered her from seven demons. That's in Mark chapter 16. And she was one of the financial supporters of Jesus. That's from Luke chapter 8. She was one of a handful of people with Jesus at the end, at the foot of the cross. She was also the first to come to Jesus' tomb when it was still dark, on the first day of the week, the Resurrection Sunday. So with this background or this information, what does it mean? I think it suggests that Mary Magdalene, believed in Jesus' word and power, because no one before that had driven these demons from out of her. So Jesus to her must have been a prophet from God or even the Messiah himself. And in a way, Jesus was her savior. He saved her from the seven demons that tormented her, that's afflicted so much pain in her life. The second thing I would say, that also suggests that Mary was a disciple, a follower of Jesus. She was there to give financial support to Jesus' ministry, and she continued to remain faithful to him, even at the cross, when he was crucified, and when he seemed powerless in the worldly eyes, after so many disciples have fled. So, yeah, Mary seems to me like a true follower. The third point about Mary, I would say, is that she really, really loved Jesus. Even after Jesus died, she was the first to go to the tomb. Not only when he healed her, not only after the during the glorious days of healings and triumphal entry and all that, but even at the cross and even after, to the world that he has failed, she still go to be with her at the tomb. So what does it say? I think it says that she has an intimate relationship with Jesus. She has remained faithful to him, and she has great love for Jesus. And I believe God wants to honor that. And God wants to honor her as the first person he revealed himself to after the resurrection. So it doesn't matter if you are not one of the chosen 12. And it also shows that Jesus showed no favoritism to any gender. As in those days, women had very little stature. And also, it tells me that it doesn't matter about the duration of the relationship you had with Jesus. Because who else was there? Virgin Mary, Jesus' mother, was there as well. Jesus could have chosen to reveal himself to his own mother, who knew him from his birth, but he didn't. He chose to reveal himself first to someone who was faithful to him and that loved him. In a way, I think it gives us much hope that no matter what circumstances we face these days, if we remain faithful to Jesus and love him, God will honor us beyond what we could ask or imagine. Okay, so if we turn back to John 20, verse 1 and 2. Just talk a bit more about the passage generally. We see that Mary Magdalene, despite being a lover of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, and experienced his healing power, he didn't realize the empty tomb was a miracle. He didn't realize that was a sign that Jesus is risen. So she ran back to tell Peter and John, somebody has taken Jesus' body. And at verse 11, it shows that Mary Magdalene was back outside the tomb, weeping in sorrow and mourning for the loss of Jesus. Her despair was so deep and her sadness was so strong that she couldn't see the miracle and probably can't even get on with her daily life. So she returned there to grieve her loss. I can imagine people who's experienced loss. The loss was so great that God could send miracles and blessings into their lives to encourage them, to bless them, but they could just miss it. They couldn't see it for a period of time. This may be because the effects, emotional effects, can be so profound and blinding because of the grieving loss. And I'll just dwell on this point a little bit more. I've been doing some work or research on grieving recently and a few years ago. A few years ago was because one of my old schoolmaster in secondary school, he lost his wife, married for over 30 years, and I saw this not invitation to funeral because he told me afterwards, but I saw the note which was a tribute to her funeral, and I actually been keeping in touch periodically, maybe once or twice a year, like Christmas card, birthday card. So sometime when you're traveling, you might send a postcard to some friends. And I stay in touch with them like for, about 20 or so years, or even more. And they weren't my teacher per se. He had quite a lot of influence in my life in just putting me in different rooms with good people or tough people to live with when I was in the boarding school. And when I read the letter, I really felt like the sadness and the loss that he experienced. It's like a part of his body was like got cut off, like amputated in some sense. And so I did some research. I was trying to get a sense of, trying to be able to relate to him and talk to him. So I read like C.S. Lewis, Grief Observe, got a little bit of understanding. But more recently, I got a little bit more better understanding on about grieving when I read this book, A Grace Disguise. It talked about loss is very much a part of normal life as birth, and really the response to this loss will determine the quality and directions and the impacts of the life of those who still living remain here on earth. It talks about the unspeakable agony, and there are days like background about this book. The guy lost his mother, his wife, and one of his daughter in a car accident and in a single incident. And it talk about how he couldn't stop crying and cry for no reason, even after like a 1 year or 3 years. And there were days like felt so exhausted and anguished and wonder if he could survive another day. And there were times that he also felt punished by being alive. I haven't actually got to the end of this book, so I could talk a bit more about the redemptive side and how God led him to come out of it. But I like this book. I like this book a lot because it gives me a stronger sense and feelings of what grieving and loss is like. And it eventually talk about how integrating the loss into the new life turns that he eventually needs to turn to the world again and make and use that loss to make him more compassionate about people who might be suffering as well. I better get back into this sharing. So why I mentioned that about loss and grieving, in a way, I think that was what happened to Mary. Mary was outside the tomb for God knows how long and missed seeing the two angels inside until she looked. And even when she saw them, she didn't realize they were angels. Nor did she realize the third miracle, which was Jesus appeared to her. Well, at this point, I would pause slightly and say, this is really amazing. It really shows how amazing, gentle, and loving God is. In the midst of Mary's loss and grieving, God showed her the empty tomb, the angels and Jesus to comfort her. But clearly, neither did the empty tomb, the presence of angels, open her eyes. And do you see what Jesus did? He didn't give up on Mary. He himself came. Has it occurred to you that God may have sent angels to you, as well as Jesus himself to you, to comfort you, as he has done with Mary, at the time of your need? See how caring and patient and gentle God is. So at verse 13, the angels ask her with tenderness, "Woman, why are you crying?" As she faced grief, the angels didn't announce the triumphant news of resurrection of Jesus, but rather asked a tender question. And soon after that, Jesus came and spoke to her with great compassion. At verse 14, "Why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" he said. These words, as we shall see, are the beginning of words of healing. She didn't recognize Jesus as the Lord, but only as a gardener then. It was only when Jesus spoke the word Mary did she recognize him as teacher. She knows his voice. His sheep knows his voice. I think this is very important in our faith walk, especially when we are down. If we spend time with God regularly and cultivate this personal relationship with him, we are much more ready to have an ear for his leading and be rescued by his voice, rather than clouded by our own voice or the enemy's. Actually, there's a bit more, but I guess next time. So may I invite Jeff let's bow our head and close our eyes. Today may be something quite different. I feel like we should pray for those who are grieving, maybe your friends, your family, your relatives. It may be someone who lost their loved ones recently, or even if it's 1, 2, 3 years away. I've been speaking to people recently that the loss still gives some pain. I want to just encourage you that Jesus will have compassion on you. He knows that there are people here this morning, as well as those listening on EMP, that they're passing through a season where there's great sadness and a period of mourning, and grieving takes time, and it could be layers on layers. And times of festival where family members or friends come together more, they might experience a little bit more just once a while. It's okay to grieve and cry months and even years afterwards. There's nothing wrong with that. So let's pray and sing the song. Yeah, we want to thank you, God, that as P-Sam said on Sunday, Jesus died so that we, our loved ones, never have to die. Because we have eternal life with God, and those who have left before us, in God's redemptive way, that somehow, in ways you don't understand, it will bring something good out of it, even though we don't see it yet. So may I just ask that may the God of all comfort comfort you. May His peace, not the peace of the world, but may His peace that transcends all understanding rest upon you. And we pray and trust that God's work of restoration, that God's work of restoring us all, will be complete. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's turn to our, first light on the community, our family members who have suffered from cancer, as well as receiving treatment. I also like to ask you to pray for the family members who are enduring this with them as well. Next slide, we pray for not only the physical healing, but the salvation. Salvation of those who are suffering. Yeah, also pray for the families, members who pray fervently for their salvation, that let them not be discouraged. That we pray for them to continue to pray ceaselessly for their loved ones, that God will give them strength to keep praying and trusting God. Yes, please also pray for other infirmities that our communities are experiencing. Pray for God's healing, that His kingdom, His reign will come over their lives, their illness as well. I also want to pray for those who are looking for a job. Pray for God's provision. Pray for a greater intimacy with God for these individual, so that even this time that might seem quite stressful out of work, that they hear God's voice well and clearly and be encouraged and blessed by Him. On Tuesday, we pray for Hong Kong. We want to pray for the government and pray for the leadership of Hong Kong. Pray for the narrowing of wealth gap. Pray for revival in Hong Kong. Pray for the Spirit to come down. Pray for churches come in unity of the Spirit. Pray for our partner, Sports Service International. Pray for Shanti, Master's Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Hong Kong Korean churches, and Hong Kong students too. Let's pray for our staff, especially PSAM's gone away for his 14th anniversary with Lisa in Italy. Also, pray for Nate, like his second week of being a father. He's away being a good father at home. And also pray for Pastor Salma. I think he's away in Indonesia as well at the moment. So not too many staff this week at church, but cover us, help us to continue to remain focused and fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray for our worship, San and AV team. Pray for a heart of worship that it will be just out of an overflowing of the worshipful heart that He leads the congregations and everyone is led to praise and worship God. And also pray for excellence in all that they do. Let's also pray for the welcoming team and barista team. They've done so much good work, like new drinks every month. I really believe that's out of the joy and love of serving the Lord and serving the church. So yes, pray for this continuing overflowing joy and love for people. Yes, and also like a friendly smiley faces all the time. Let us not forget praying for house church, even though this week is an off week. So yes, pray for the leaders who will be refreshed this Easter season as house church is on break, and also pray for the house church, each of these house churches: Fontana, Hopewell, Kowloon, Garden, Old Peak Road, Soho, Westfield, that house church member continue to remain in fellowship, in contact with each other, and just continue to be built up by the Lord. Lord God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you are God of love, that you love and wants to honor us so much, to those not only faithful or love you, but even though we may be at loss and lost our ways in seeing what you're doing, you would send angels in front of us. And if we miss that, you would send yourself, Jesus, to come behind us. And that you will speak words of encouragement to us. And that you continue to remain with us. We thank you that you are such a good, good God. You're such a caring, loving God. Help us to realize this and make such a big difference to us. Yes, Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. May I also ask that you to just bless everyone here as they prepare to go to work or go to the next appointment. Lord God, may you bless their spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit to lead his body, their body and soul, to a greater intimacy with you. In Jesus' name now we pray. Amen.